I think we can be shameless in our changes. These things were set up to prepare us for the next tributaries.
So many of us have many desires. We wish this or that for our life. We attempt to manifest through our thoughts alone. Now, how many of us actually open ourselves up to
in a Sioux City yoga studio, a long-haired musician sits off to the side, softly strumming his electric acoustic guitar with an assortment of prayer beads wrapped around his tattooed wrists, a fedora on his head. He hums into the microphone. No words or lyrics, just sounds. Rain sticks and looping melodies blend together, creating a soundscape for yoga and meditation. Everything works in harmony, a reflection of the life Christopher Raven has found. Not too long ago, though, this man was lost. He was once an aspiring attorney who wound up becoming a pastor. He was also known by another name, Chris Saab. For more than two decades, a pendulum swung back and forth between music and ministry.
Yeah, I think I saw the two as very separate destinations.
In college, he started as a music major, but his studies robbed him of the joy. Saab graduated with a pre-law degree in political science instead. He was studying for the LSAT when his mom saw something in him that he couldn't see himself. She said, "You love music so much. Why don't you pursue that?" And he did. At one point, he was in four bands. But he was overcome by a spiritual yearning.
And sometimes I even feel it in my chest, you know, like just like that's that gnawing, like a desire, a burning something. And in my 20s, I didn't know how to flesh that out or seek it out other than church.
Saab joined the church worship team and kept playing in one of the bands. On Sunday mornings, he'd lead the congregation in worship with stamps all over his hands from being at the clubs the night before. The elders didn't like how it looked. It was one or the other, they said. He couldn't do both.
I had done the music thing for a while, had some CDs out, had done some festivals, you know, had done that, and I'm tasting that life, that world, and yet I couldn't get rid of this gnawing. And that's when it didn't take too long to wrestle with that, to just say, I gotta figure this out.
He quit the band and became a pastor. He wanted to help others experience the fullness of life, but at the same time, he was silencing part of himself. He had abandoned his music, trying to satiate his spiritual hunger. That didn't turn out as he had hoped.
As I look at spirituality, I just view it as just this endlessness. And it wasn't too long into the trek of being the pastor guy that I found myself bouncing into walls and hitting my head on a ceiling.
So he went back to music. This time he got signed by a management company out in Los Angeles, but the shift caused a rift between him and his wife. They got divorced. That was the death knell to his church work. For several years, he was writing furiously and recording demos, constantly trying to appeal to labels that would take him to the next level. It never happened.
It just ended up frying my soul because I wasn't writing out of a place of truth. I wasn't writing out of a place of experience or my own person. So rather than living inside out, I was living outside in.
Too often, Saab did what he thought he should do. Go to school, get a job, get married, have kids. Following the prescribed path didn't always bring happiness and success as promised.
Sometimes we think that step one leads to step two. And so we think, well, I went to school for this. That's going to lead, you know, to the next step of a job doing what I studied. We have this very linear view sometimes, and we don't always know that step one is preparing us to make a decision on a multitude of tributaries that lead from that one step. And it might go this way, this way, or that way.
By that logic, studying pre-law prepared him to be a musician, which prepared him to be a pastor, which was a necessary step to return to music. But then, as it always did, his spiritual hunger growled again. He went looking for morsels of knowledge at a Christian bookstore where his mom worked. He told her,
"Mom, I think I need a Bible, but I don't want it to sound like a Bible or read like a Bible. I don't want to be reminded of any sermon I've ever heard. I just want to hear God.
He didn't find what he was looking for that day. Instead, he'd get an answer from a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance, who was staying at his house in Omaha. Saab remembered watching him on TV and seeing a spark in his eye. His whole person glowed. Saab had to know his secret. The dancer smiled and said,
"It's Kabbalah." That was like the door being opened to spirituality.
Now on this journey of I just want to hear God, he stumbled upon another bookstore. Following an overwhelming urge to talk to the clerk, he went in and told her what was going on in his life. She assured him,
"Chris, as long as you keep an open mind, you're gonna be fine."
And then she sent him home with two personal growth books, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and Be the Person You Want to Find by Sherry Huber.
It was like a deluge on top of a dry sponge. I mean, just keep it coming. One conversation or one book would lead to something else, and just ended up being a wonderful carnival of information.
He spent the next 4 years reading books on Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, as well as Egyptian, Native American, and Australian Aboriginal spirituality. He explored Tai Chi, Qigong, and traditional Chinese medicine. He befriended a psychic and a group of Tibetan monks. He started with one tattoo on his wrist that said love in Arabic, giving a nod to the origins of his family name, and then kept adding ink to his arms until he had two full sleeves documenting his discoveries about Kabbalah, Zen, Hinduism, and himself.
Each day, it's like getting closer to like finding, in Hinduism, they call it the Atman, your true self. Every day, finding more of that and being free to be that.
His spiritual journey became endless, effortless. And after more than 5 years of not writing any songs, the music poured out.
I didn't have a context in mind. I wasn't writing for any purpose. I was just exhaling what I felt was naturally in me and letting it out. Probably the first time in my years as a creative artist of actually being an artist, rather than trying to, you know, get someone to like me kind of a thing. Ugh.
The sound surprised him. It was ambient and ethereal. He played his new song snippets for a friend who asked if he had ever thought about playing music for yoga, to which he replied,
"What are you talking about? That just sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah."
His friend gave him the number of her yoga teacher more than a year ago. He's been creating soundscapes for yoga and meditation ever since. Finally, finding harmony between his spiritual life and music.
Like, my output was a natural input into this context. I didn't even know it was there in the yoga community.
He mostly performs in and around Omaha, where he lives. But recently, he's been making more frequent trips to Sioux City to play at B Yoga Studio. Floating down this new tributary of sorts, he's adopted a new name based on his spirit animal, becoming Christopher Raven. It's said that the raven signifies change and healing because of its ability to cast light into the dark. Maybe it wasn't a gnawing that Raven felt all those years ago, but an internal cawing, building up, waiting to be released. The music you're hearing was recorded live during a class at B Yoga Studio. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.